In this age of technology, the concept of something becoming viral has a much different meaning than it did just 20 years ago. Today, when something becomes viral, that term viral refers to that rapid spread of information, normally, using the highly efficient channels of communication that we currently have. With email and text message capabilities at our fingertips these days, information spreads very quickly, and if it's available in a digital format. It's a metaphor that we use to have something become viral because we know how viruses spread. They spread from one person to as many other people as are in contact with that single person. In order for something to spread quickly like that, like a virus, it needs to be exposed where there is no immunity. It needs to have an environment where it can spread, where that virus can grow and latch on to a host that is not immune. Now, if someone who is contagious with a virus walks into a room where everyone has immunity, what happens? Nothing. That virus doesn't spread at all. It's dead in the water. But when somebody walks into a room, when people are not immune, a virus spreads very quickly. And then from those people to others. That is the spread of something very quickly. You know, if that immunity, that concept of immunity is very critical to understand here. And that concept of the opposite of immunity, having a vulnerable host, is something that is stands in contrast to immunity. If a YouTube video, in today's notion of something going viral, if a YouTube video is posted online and it is not captivating to a viewer, it will not spread, just as a virus in a room of people with immunity will not spread. But when an environment offers vulnerability, watch out. In the right conditions, things may spread very quickly. That's true for information today. It's also true for viruses and sicknesses that are contagious. But it, brethren, is also very true for temptations and the opportunity to sin. The temptations, the taunts, and the threats that Satan exposes to us as Christians can follow that same viral metaphor. That sin that becomes a temptation in our life may spread, but it spreads within our own lives. It doesn't spread from one person to another necessarily. But the spread that we need to be concerned about when we're thinking about sin is the spread within our own lives. When one sin takes root, it may lead to others. And that viral growth, and that contamination, if you will, of our lives with sin. Once sin takes root in our lives, it spreads little by little into as many corners as it can find. Unless we follow this instruction. Ephesians 6:16 gives us something, an instruction, some encouragement, a tool, if you will, to fight against this sin, to fight against temptation. Ephesians 6 and 16. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That shield of faith is what makes us immune to the taunts, the temptations, the opportunity to sin in our lives. What I like about this scripture is how visual it is. A fiery dart. We have to think about what that fiery dart is. Break it up into its pieces. A dart is just a tiny thing. In itself, it's relatively harmless. A dart just, you know, punctures a little hole. It doesn't kill, right? Fire, all by itself, is something that humans have used in a controlled manner for a long time. We know that fire can be dangerous. It is very dangerous. But all by itself, it can be contained. There's nothing inherently dangerous about fire. But what happens when you light a little dart on fire and you shoot it at something that is susceptible to catching fire? That little dart in a combustible kind of environment turns that little flame into something that causes a fire to go out of control. When a little flame catches on fire, it makes whatever it catches on fire go into a big blaze, unless there is some kind of fireproofing. That fire can burn out of control and do a lot of damage. And if you think about how that started, it started out with a little dart, with a little flame. It's tiny. Satan is subtle, if anything. He's very good at deceiving us by mixing a little bit of truth with a little bit of a lie, and thereby making it seem that going his way will not do damage. A little tiny dart on fire looks harmless, but in the right environment, it can do extreme damage. All Satan needs to do is throw that little tiny fiery dart into a vulnerable place in our lives, causing sin to take hold. What's really neat, though, is that we have been equipped. This scripture in Ephesians 6 tells us that we have a way of fighting against this, these fiery darts. What is it? It's a little tool we call faith. That faith that we have in our lives is a shield against the fiery darts that Satan throws at us. That faith puts the fire out of those darts and guards us against the damage that it can do. We will be a target to a fiery dart, many fiery darts. But if we don't have that shield of faith, we become vulnerable to sin taking hold, catching a blaze in our life, and spreading. James 4, verses 7 and 8, I cite frequently, and it states this: "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." This describes what it's like to take faith in our lives and use it as a shield. It describes what happens. What happens is that those fiery darts that Satan shoots at us have no effect. And if they have no effect, he will turn the other way. Having trust in God and turning towards God is proof of faith, our trust in him. When we turn towards God, we turn away from Satan. And when we do that, those fiery darts have no effect because we are proving our faith. We have immunity when that happens to the temptation and the spread of sin that follows when we have that faith of Christ living and working in us. If we are vulnerable, however, what's the corollary of that? If we do not have faith, if we are not turning towards God, we become vulnerable to sin, and Satan will not leave us alone. We have to increase our faith to guard against this kind of situation. We need to turn the focus of our motives away from seeking the things that the world has to offer. These are the things that Satan has to offer, the things that turn us away from God. We need to seek out the things that faith has to offer. What are those things? What does faith offer us? Faith gives us a promise of eternal life as spirit beings in the kingdom and family of God. When we believe that plan, when we understand and live our lives knowing that we will be part of the family of God, that we are begotten members of the family of God now, our lives are different. We behave differently. Our motives are spiritually motivated. We are less inclined to turn towards the things that the world and Satan has to offer us, those physical comforts, if you will. We turn towards the spiritual comforts. That is our demonstration of faith. When we demonstrate faith, we separate ourselves from the world's offerings and become immune to the temptations of Satan. All he has to offer us are things that are not of the substance of faith, but the substance of flesh. The faith that we have in the spiritual fulfillment of God's plan is our shield. It's our shield because it protects us from the temptations of this world. You can see the contrast between the two. We have faith in the spiritual fulfillment of God's plan. That is the faith that protects us from the way of the world, the physical things that the world has to offer. The temptations that Satan has to offer us are designed explicitly to turn us away from God and the spiritual fulfillment of his plan. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 6, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 12. First Timothy 6, starting in verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We discussed the ways of the world pulling us away, and that's exactly what this passage describes here. Being pulled away by riches does what? It takes us away from faith. It's described here in the way that riches cause people to stray from faith. We can go one of two directions. We can increase our faith and turn away from the temptations of the world and what they have to offer, or we can turn towards the world and away from faith and become vulnerable to those fiery darts of Satan. Now, this straying is gradual. It doesn't all happen all at once. It happens little by little. That's what straying is. Faith is what is used to seize and take hold of that spiritual promise of eternal life. That's not a physical promise. That's a spiritual promise. One of the greatest examples of faith that I enjoy is back in Daniel. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll go ahead and read it. It's, I'm sure, familiar to you all. I'll be reading from Daniel 3, 15 through 18, if you want to go ahead and listen. Now, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. The threat here is a very real death, but a physical one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did what? They put their trust in God. Their priority was a spiritual priority. They wanted to be obedient to God. They did not care what the physical consequences would be. They just knew that they had to obey God. They had faith that whatever happened, God would be served. They would be doing the right thing. The outcome, of course, is that they were not affected. Their faith was rewarded by not having them die. But their faith was a shield against those temptations of physical death, and taking matters into their own hands. They did not do that. They trusted God. They had faith in God. Let's turn over to Romans 5 and read verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Faith is what justifies us. This is the faith of Jesus Christ living and working in us. That faith of Jesus Christ is what allowed him to become righteous, the only human being who lived a righteous life. He overcame the world by faith. That same faith is working and living in us. When we have that, we become fireproof. We are able to stand against all those fiery darts because they become ineffective. They are quenched. They cannot catch fire in our lives. Those tribulations, those trials, they're not easy to face. They all challenge us. But they will not pull us away from believing if we have faith. When we do have faith, the truth of God becomes the supreme motivator in our lives. The physical consequences, the physical benefit, rewards, whatever those are not the supreme motivator in our lives. The world in which we live has a lot of pleasant things to offer. There's no doubt about that. But they are of no lasting value to us. Faith is a tool that allows us to be strong enough to be ambivalent to those physical persuasions. We know that they are not the end-all, be-all. There's something much more important that motivates us. That's the spiritual plan of God. With the faith of Jesus Christ working in us, we too can overcome the world and all those fiery darts and taunts of Satan.